It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. It's no coincidence that the landscape of Oakland, California resembles something out of a Star Wars movie. George Lucas modeled his stormtrooper carriers after the huge white cranes that sit along the city's port, methodically raising cargo from incoming freighters to waiting rail cars. These cranes are a symbol of just how much industry is a part of the city, and for that matter, how much commerce is part of the nation. But people like Van Jones believe part of Oakland's community pays more than its fair share of the price. On any given day, Van Jones says, factories and trucks spew fumes into the air that have created some of the highest asthma rates in the country, as well as other illnesses. A lawyer by training, Mr. Jones is executive director of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights. And he says by cleaning up the city, he can help people breathe easier, live safer, and get better jobs. I met up with Van Jones at an abandoned city lot on a busy intersection in industrial West Oakland.
West Oakland is a community where 80% of the folks who live here live within an eighth of a mile of an industrial site. It's literally a stone's throw. So it's very unhealthy. It's an asthma epidemic. You go to the public schools, you know, you see little second and third graders. More than half of them have an inhaler in their pocket. It's really an epidemic here. And so the struggle in West Oakland, not just for jobs and economic development, but for economic development that won't make things worse, That's the whole game. That's what it's all about.
Who lives here?
Black folks live in West Oakland. You know, West Oakland is a traditionally African-American, low-income, working-class community. More and more different kinds of people live here, but you know, it's still, West Oakland is still considered an African-American community. And it used to be a brilliant, beautiful, thriving, amazing place. And then over time, like so many urban communities, it fell on hard times, and it fell prey to, you know, polluters, toxifiers. And one of the worst was the Red Star Yeast Factory, which, if you see this big empty lot here, this used to be one of the nastiest smelling industrial sites anywhere in Northern California. I mean, because they were making yeast, the kinds of smells that would be coming out all hours of the day, the noise, was just horrendous. And for a while, people had just accepted it. Yeah. But then a local community organization did some research and found out that it wasn't just that it was bad smells, but it was carcinogenic, and that explained a lot of the health issues around here. And so there was a community mobilization to shut this place down. And you can see, we won.
At this Red Star Yeast plant, what came out that was so toxic?
Well, carbon monoxide was coming out, sulfur dioxide was coming out, something called acetaldehyde. I mean, there were chemicals coming out that community people couldn't even pronounce. And the only thing that we knew was that our children were being hospitalized for asthma at 7 times the rate of any place else in California. And so we knew something had to be done.
So what happened here to shut down this plant? One day it's here, the next day it's gone. It took some kind of work. What was it?
Well, you know, we're lucky because in West Oakland and really all across America, we have environmental heroes and sheroes who are willing to stand up. The Pacific Institute, who have PhDs and scientists and stuff on staff, they did an environmental indicators project and discovered all these poisons that were coming out into the community. And then we have heroes like, Margaret Gordon, who's an African-American grandmother who, won't take it, and she and others like Manzi Natoto stood up and stood up to the powers that be.
What did they do? Did they march? Did they picket? Did they protest? Did they sit in? Did they write letters? What did they do?
Yes. they did it all. They did everything from, writing letters, having sit-down meetings. They did some civil disobedience. They say, listen, you can't bring these trucks in and out of here anymore. And they went to the Air Quality Management District that had been asleep at the wheel for decades, letting this poison go, and they brought the facts and the figures, and they got this thing shut down. And by them shutting this one factory down, they opened up the possibility for West Oakland to become a community that everybody can be proud of.
These days, environmental activists and civil disobedience, those two phrases don't go together that often. Why do you suppose that is?
You know, I just think that we've forgotten our history. I think that people want the civil rights movement to either just be Dr. King giving a speech, or they just want it to be the Black Panthers, you know, raising a fist. And the reality is that you had people of all colors coming together across the country who had a different vision for America, wanted America to lead the world in human rights, and were ashamed of the failures of this country to live up to its best promises. And they changed the country, absolutely changed the country. Similarly, now across the country, you have people who are very concerned about America leading the world in pollution, in consumption, in waste, driving the global warming crisis to a peak point. And those people are not just white, affluent people who live in the suburbs. People of color read the newspaper, too. And we want to see a change happen that will not only benefit the global situation, but also can make our community stronger. And that's what this new urban environmentalism allows for. I gotta tell you, it feels good to be walking on what used to be, you know, I mean, this place was killing people.
So now has the asthma rate improved here?
The asthma rate has improved marginally. The other problem that we have is that we got the biggest stationary source removed, but then look over here. When you're standing in West Oakland, the port is right over there. Products come here from all around the world. Big diesel trucks come and idle in our community to take those products to the suburbs, to the affluent areas. But we bear the burden in our lungs of those trucks sitting there to take something out to the malls all over the country. Why can't those trucks use biodiesel? Why can't those trucks use clean energy? So that as this commerce is happening and benefiting people over abroad and throughout America, we're not suffering. That's jobs, skilled jobs, what we call green collar jobs.
Green collar jobs.
That's what we want. We the blue collar jobs are the jobs of the past for the manufacturing that's leaving. White collar jobs are jobs that, you know, people aspire to, but often it's narrow at the top. But there, you look around here, there's no amount of, you could have 100 people here right now working to improve the way this place looks and feels. They'd be working here 10 years from now because there's so much urban renewal. I don't use that word. There's so much urban restoration that is required now as more people come into the cities and come into urban areas.
Okay, here we are. San Francisco Bay has 200-plus mayors from around the world here gathering for World Environment Day. Yeah. They come from anywhere from Kabul in Afghanistan to Shanghai in China to Curitiba in Brazil, London, England. What's the message from Oakland, California, from you, Van Jones, to these mayors?
Well, the message is that environmentalism is not an elite issue. It's not an issue that's just for the affluent people to be concerned about. That the environmental burden of community health and sickness and death falls in the slums. It falls on the poor. What we want to say is that every single mayor who's here has a slum in their community. They have a low-income area. They have a ghetto. They have a barrio. In every slum, put a green job training center so that people can come in and learn how to do rainwater reclamation, permaculture, how to put solar cells up. Help people who have economic needs and community health needs meet those needs through a new environmentalism that's about social uplift as well as saving the planet. That's what we're saying. You know, one of the reasons that we do what we do in holding out a different vision is Dr. King didn't get famous with a speech called "I Have a Complaint." You know? He had a dream. We have a dream in West Oakland. Yeah.
So if you were going to give this speech today, this is 2005 and not 1963, mm-hmm. What would you say? I have a dream, ...
Well, you know, I dream of seeing these young sisters and brothers out here in the community moving from jail cells to solar cells. You know what I mean? I imagine a situation where places like Oakland, Watts, Newark, Detroit, these places could be Silicon Valleys of green capital. These places could be the models of, you know, model cities, really, that show that you can have zero pollution, zero poverty, and zero displacement of the people who live here if you just invest in giving them skills to have green collar jobs. I believe that green collar jobs to put urban America back to work and to restore urban America is the silver bullet solution for the environmental and social problems we're facing here in West Oakland and across the country.
Van Jones is Executive Director of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights in Oakland, California. Thanks for taking this time today.
Well, thank you. You know, come back. We're going to be a world leader for the green economy. Come back and do that show, too.